It is an honor. All right. Can you hear me now? You like that guy from the Cell Company. Can you hear me now? It is such an honor to have Brother Morton Bustard with us in the house of the Lord this morning and this evening. He's traveled all over the world preaching. He's got an incredible prophetic ministry as well as healing ministry. And we've come to know him and love him here at Calvary Gospel Church. And at this time, I'd like to take and have Brother Morton Bustard come in.
And praise the Lord, everybody. And all of God's people said, amen. And I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to Calvary Gospel Church. Amen. You may be seated. Good to be in the fine state of Wisconsin. Good to be here with Bishop Grant, a wonderful pastor, an anointed leader, whom the Lord brought here many years ago and raised this great work up. Good to be here with his sweet wife, the entire leadership team, and you, the saints of the Most High God. Everybody happy this morning? No, that's not what happiness is. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me give the wonderful people in the media booth a heads up. In a moment, I'll read from 1 Kings chapter 18. And I'll read verse 41 down through verse 45. While you're finding that passage, a few weeks ago, I talked to your wonderful pastor. I said, Brother Grant, would you have the church pray for my sister? 11 months ago, we buried a sister from cancer. And then a few months ago, the sister next to her, and they were actually best of friends, was diagnosed with cancer in both lungs. And that's what the biopsy concluded. They wanted to do another biopsy to discover where it began. Did it originate in the breast or the liver? Because that was going to decide what treatment they were going to do. About three or four weeks ago, my wife and I, we went up to Eastern Canada. We were there the day they took her in for the extensive and invasive biopsy. We just received news. No cancer. So on behalf of her and our entire family, I want to thank you for helping us pray. You see, we labor together. We need each other. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41. I do have to make one more statement. My very sweet wife said, I need to go up there with you one of these times. She doesn't always say that, but she said, I need to go to Madison. So, in Jesus' name. And I'd like to make one more statement about her. If loving her is wrong, I don't want to be right. Hallelujah. Verse 41, and Elijah said unto Ahab, get up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance. Would you say abundance? Abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. Now, it doesn't say in this passage that he prayed, but over in James it says that he prayed. And this is the traditional Middle Eastern prayer position to assume. And said to his servant, go up now and look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go up again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. Lord Jesus, may your name be glorified in this house. May your people be edified. May needs be met right here. People brought into the kingdom of God through the water, through the Spirit. And all of God's people said amen. Would you give him about a 30-second Sunday morning, an enthusiastic hand clap? I can preach real good for 30 minutes if you help me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Leadership affects a town, a city, a state, a nation, the world. That's why we need to pray for our leaders. We can disagree politically, but we must pray for them to make sure they're influenced by the right spirit. Israel has been divided, northern and southern kingdoms, pretty much down the middle because of the leadership of Ahab and Jezebel. Brothers, you would not want to be married to this Jezebel. What a piece of work. She was the power behind the throne. She has at her table the prophets of Baal, false prophets. Make sure that the source you're seeking for counsel is of God. Can I just camp here for a minute? Christians don't consult the horoscope. I did something, I may make myself too much at home, and maybe they gave me the pulpit too early, but I did something that wasn't real wise here a few weeks ago, and I admit it wasn't the wisest move that I made. I was driving down Jackson Street where I live in Alexandria, Louisiana, and right next to where I was parked at the red light, there was a sign in the lawn that said, palm reading and card reading, $10 a pop. Well, they didn't say pop, but that's what they meant, $10 a pop. Because if it was you and I, since we're from the north, we would expect to get a Coke. But not for $10. Mr. Soundman, keep the sound up. I know this crowd. They're probably going to get loud. Don't turn them down. You may have to turn me up, but just don't turn them down. So I did a private call, and I called the number, and a woman answered the phone. She said, hello. I said, this is the live psychic. She said, yes. I said, I kind of feel foolish. I've never done this before. I said, $10 a call if I come in. Yeah, $10. I said, are you able to get the number for the Powerball lottery? She said, that's not a dumb question. I've been asked that before. Well, it was over $250 million. One of them. I can't keep up with them all. I don't buy the ticket. So I said, she said, if it comes to me, I can get it. I said, well, I'd like to make a suggestion to you. She said, what? I said, if it comes to you, get the ticket yourself. Christians look to God as their source, not to spirits of divination. And because of this, evil has visited Israel. And Elijah says, I'll tell you what, God's going to have to move here. And this is how he's going to move. I'm going to prophesy there's not going to be rain. And it was as if God reached over and turned the spigot off. And for 3.5 years, there was no rain. That's what you call a scorched earth policy. The agriculture industry has died. You cannot make it without rain. But here's the deal. God controls the rain. My mother used to tell me, you never miss the water till the well runs dry. After 3.5 years, people are thinking something's wrong. We need rain. Elijah says, we're going to have a showdown at Mount Carmel. And he said, you prophets of Baal, you do your thing. And if your God answers with fire, we'll proclaim that he's the true and living God. But if he doesn't and my God does, we will proclaim that he is the true and the living God. Why don't you try at least to put God on the spot? Why don't you create a platform for God to step on the stage and do something mighty? Why doesn't the Church of the Living God stop praying benign prayers in 2013 and challenge God and say, here's what we want, God. We don't want just a shower. We want downpours of blessing. We want you to change Madison and all of Wisconsin and all of the United States. We want your glory to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Lord, let it come to pass that the latter and the former rain together will come down in this end time. Somebody needs to get the attention of God. You do that a little bit more, something as mighty is going to break out in this house this morning. I don't always say this, but I believe the enemy has tried to distract us before we came into this place. I believe that we ought to bring our collective minds together right now and become in one accord. Who knows what God intended this day to be? Somebody's going to get healed. Someone's going to get a miracle today. I speak faith in this house. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. So the prophets of Baal built their altar, put their sacrifice on it, and then they went through the mechanics and the motions of some sort of worship. But there was no fire. Elijah taunted them and said, maybe your God is on a journey. Maybe he's asleep. One thing we know, he who keeps Israel doesn't slumber nor sleep. But there was no fire. They jumped up on the altar and then they broke out the knives and began to cut themselves. Any religion that teaches you anything other than the forgiveness of sins through the blood of Jesus, not my blood, not my works, but his blood, and because of his work on Calvary, it's not a true religion. It's a good thing the prophet stopped them. They would have killed themselves. Well, they ended up dead anyhow, but they would have done the job themselves. There was no fire. So Elijah, at the evening time, and you can study the morning sacrifice and the evening sacrifice, and here's a little bit of an analogy. The church was birthed at the morning sacrifice, and people paid a dear price to be people of the name of Jesus. And some of you may not realize, but before your generation came along, there was a generation where it wasn't vogue to be a tongue talker. We were despised. Called unscholarly. But if we're going to have revival in the evening time, there's got to be an evening sacrifice. For this church to go to the next level, because this is not your destiny. This is a point along your journey. God has big things in store for Calvary. But there's got to be an evening sacrifice to match the morning sacrifice. He built an altar with 12 stones representing the 12 tribes, because everything that God does is with his church and through his church. And I've got news for some of you who operate in the gifts of the Spirit or who want to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit don't so much operate within a man or within a woman. They operate in a body. I'm part of a body. And then he placed the sacrifice on it, the bullock, and he cut it in pieces. And then he did something really unique. He said, dig a trench around this altar. And then he said, bring me 4 barrels of water. Ladies and gentlemen, he soaked that sacrifice down. And then he said, bring me 4 more barrels. He repeated that process 3 times, 12 barrels of water, until the water was running over that altar. That sounds crazy. Crazy. If you want a demonstration of fire, why would you involve water? Well, here's the deal. If the origin of the fire is ethereal, elements of earth are inconsequential. Would you like to have a revelation of what I just said? If you got the fire of the Holy Ghost, it doesn't matter where you go, who's there, what they're doing, whether it's in your house, on the job, on the campus, in the schoolyard, it doesn't matter, because greater is he who is in you than he that's in the world. The devil didn't give it to you. The devil can't take it from you. This joy that I have, this peace that I have, this power that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. He stepped back and said, Lord, it's time to show yourself as the Almighty God. And ladies and gentlemen, the fire fell. And when a sacrifice has been put on the altar, the fire's gonna fall. But until a sacrifice is on that altar, no fire is coming down. It would be totally futile for fire to fall on an empty altar. The fire fell down, and I know I'm going to get more of a witness in this house because we're warming up again, aren't we? Oh, yeah, hallelujah. It's been a year, but we're warming back up again. Amen. The fire fell and consumed the sacrifice, but it didn't stop there. And please, people in the media booth, do not put my scriptures up on the wall again in this service. I'm going to give this crowd a little quiz here in a few moments. It licked up the water, and then it licked up the dust. What kind of a fire is that? What kind of a fire consumes the sacrifice? It must have been a blaze. It must have had something in that flame that just kept on burning. It licked up the water and it kept on burning. It licked up the dust and it kept on burning. But it didn't just stop there. It devoured the stones. What kind of a fire has the power to devour stones? The same kind of power that can take drug addiction out of your life. The same kind of power that can take perversion out of your mind. The same kind of power that can move into a hard heart with hatred, animosity. But when the fire comes, it burns, it purifies. Oh God, send the fire just now. Oh Lord, send the fire just now. You can do a little bit better than that. Come on, bring it up another notch. Bring it up another notch. Pastor has informed me. You better bring up the sound. Pastor has informed me they need miracles. Let's bring it up another notch. I don't know how much longer I'm going to get to preach, but it wouldn't bother me if the fire fell in this house right now. It would not bother me if the fire took over in this house from wall to wall, back to front, bottom to top, and consumed everyone and everything. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? It's the Holy Ghost in fire, and it's keeping me alive, keeping me alive, keeping me alive. It's the Holy Ghost in fire, and it's keeping me. Whew. Well, it's not that bad. Dry kindling makes for a good fire. Wasn't a good day to be a false prophet. They lost their heads. And the spirit of prophecy came on that old prophet. And he said, servant, go and tell Ahab, eat and drink now. Whatever you've got to do, do now and do quickly. Because something has happened in the heavenlies. The tide is turning. Something is about to happen in the nation of Israel. I declare this desert a disaster area. Because I hear. I didn't hear it from Fox News, but I hear. I didn't hear it on MSNBC, but I hear. Didn't hear it on talk radio, but I hear. Didn't hear it from that negative Pentecostal person who thinks everything is over and the church is going down the tubes. It's K-Sara, Sara, whatever will be, a defeatist mentality. Everything's been given over to the Antichrist. No, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. That ought to make anybody happy. If you believe it, if you believe that God spoke it, if you've lived 3.5 years without it, I don't know how long America is going to have to go without rain, but America needs rain. I'm not a dime store prophet. I didn't come just for another weekend and a good offering. I've come to tell you that America needs rain. And a part of the reason why we're in this situation is because we have politicians and performers and motivational speakers in pulpits. I think that we ought to have some motivation. I think that we ought to have some edification. But we need a modern day prophet to look at America and say, come back to God. Ladies and gentlemen, same-sex marriage is not going to bring the rain. I'm not a bigot. I'm not a bully. I'm just standing for righteousness and saying, America, come back to God. Oh, yeah. I'm upset with the Democrats and the Republicans. I'm a Canadian. I can't vote anyhow. But I've lived here. I paid taxes for over 25 years. I think I ought to have a right to stand up and say, I'm upset with both parties. But I'm also upset with those occupying pulpits. We let this thing get out of hand. There's something more important than getting a new European car. There's something more important than getting a vacation home on some exotic island. We need a revival. We need a move of God. We don't have time just to have good church. We've got to have real good church. I need rain in my home. So, Elijah goes to the top of Mount Carmel, gets in that position of prayer, and begins to, oh God, would you move somehow, some way? No. You know what he did? God, you declared abundance of rain. I speak what you have declared in the heavens. Here in the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, if you hear the sound of abundance of rain, don't you pray for anything but. Pray what you've heard. If God has spoken a great prophetic word over your family, don't you distill it. Don't you reduce it. Don't you pare it down. I know you want your sons and daughters saved. So do I. But that's not what God only said. The prophet said, your sons and daughters will prophesy. I want them saved, but I also want them prophesying. I want them being used of God. So therefore, I pray abundance of rain over my home. Number two. When you pray what you've heard, look for what you've prayed. Look for it. Expect it. God said it. And I've got news for you. God is not a man. Man, there's an anointing in this house today. There's a liberty in this house today. You might as well go ahead and take it. Because someone on your pew is about to undo their seatbelt. You might as well get your praise on, because somebody in your vicinity is about to come unglued.
Rain, rain, rain.
Pray what you've heard. Look with expectation to see what you prayed and what you've heard. But then, put legs to your prayer, because faith without works is dead. Listen to the next prophetic word, because it's a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, and a sure word of prophecy. It's step by step. Man, I'm having a fit today. Even the word of God came line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Just because you get one word, don't stop listening. No, you need to pray. Rain! Rain! God, what are you telling me what to do now? What do you want me to do now? And the prophet said, go up to the top of Carmel and tell me what you see. So the prophet goes up and comes back down and says, nothing. Would you say nothing? But ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters of the Most High God, I will finish it. God is not a man that he could lie. When he delegates his word to go forth, it will not return void. It will accomplish what he said. As the snow comes down, anybody in Wisconsin know anything about snow, and returns not hither, so is the word of God. We know one thing, don't we? With God, nothing is impossible. That's a double entendre. I'll tell you what I mean. With God, nothing is impossible. He's the Almighty God who spoke the worlds into existence. He can do whatever he chooses. But here's the other side of that coin. When you have God, you can't have nothing. Let me help you out. When God said abundance of rain, and you're praying abundance of rain, I don't care what you saw or what you didn't see, you can at the end of the day end up with nothing. Keep praying for that son. Keep praying for that daughter. Keep praying for that marriage. Don't you give up. Come on, get a death grip on it and say, I cannot have nothing. I cannot have nothing. I'm praying for it. I cannot have nothing. Oh, I'd love for a spirit of intercession come over this house today. But the prophet knew what we have to understand. Pray without ceasing. But remember, to them that knock, it shall be open. To them that seek, they find. To them that ask, they receive. So therefore, he said, go seven times. I'm a pragmatic prophet. I'm not going to tell you the road's going to be easy. I'm not going to tell you you're going to receive your answer the first time you make your request. All I'm telling you is the seventh time. What I mean is, you're not going to go up to the top of the mountain an infinite number of times. One of these times, God hears and he answers prayer. It pays off. Musicians, get ready. Just kind of come and just get, you know. Now, if I get heavily anointed and go another 10 minutes, you're not going to get upset at me, are you, musicians? Okay. Okay, I said get ready. They're walking up. I may have to preach another 10 minutes, though. You say, I don't know if you're arrogant or you've got authority. Well, please don't confuse the two. Because I put these suit pants on one leg at a time. That man prays for my home all the time, him and his sweet wife. Because I want a move of God in my home. We're not here to compare stories. But I know what it's like for hell to reach for your loved ones. That's why I'm preaching so passionately. I'm believing that 1 Corinthians 13 and 13 is going to come to pass, that love will never fail. He came down the seventh time and he said, I saw a, would you say little cloud? A little cloud like a man's hand. He didn't say size of a man's hand. He said like a man's hand. And I'll throw a term out. Maybe that was some kind of an anthropomorphic theophany. Maybe it was something representing the hand of God. I don't know that it could have been representing the hand of man reaching into the heavens. I don't know. But he said it was like a man's hand. But he said, I saw a small cloud. And that's what I want to accentuate right now. Because you're some of the best. You're the creme de la creme. You take a licking and you keep on ticking. It's all right for her to do that. It's all right for you to do that. It's all right for you to sit there and raise that hand. You know why? We know what the text is all about because we're praying for our homes. Everybody in this house is praying for someone. Whether you need it yourself or have a family member or a friend, you know what intercessory prayer is all about. But there's times you expend a lot of energy and time in prayer and interceding, and you involve fasting with it. And then you see an answer and you go, what? That little old thing? That's all I see? I've prayed and fasted 7 days. Water only. I've awakened in the wee hours and tossed and turned all night and found myself on the floor of the living room praying to God. And after all of that, that's all I get. And you say, that's not in proportion to what I heard. Something's wrong with this picture. What Israel needs, that cloud can't cut it. I don't need to preach longer. You're as anointed as I am this morning. We are now in perfect harmony working together. Go ahead. Go right ahead. Keep doing that. Keep doing that. We're working together. Here's the whole message. Don't dismiss those little things and say, the rain I need, that cloud hasn't got it. I saw a little cloud. I'm going to take some creative liberty here. I'm not going to violate hermeneutics, but I'm going to take liberty and I'm going to kind of reenact this. Here's the old prophet who heard abundance of rain, who prayed for abundance of rain, and the servant said, I saw a little cloud the size of a man's hand. Yeah. That's not the point. Don't tell me how big the cloud is or how small the cloud is. My faith is not in the size of the cloud. He's the God who can take little clouds and break down great rain. If you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you can speak unto the mountain, be thou removed. Yes! Maestro, please. Bring it up again. The point is, Brother Roy, when he said, go to the top of Carmel, do not look at your Bibles, please, and do not put the scriptures on the screen. He gave him an unusual command. He said, when you go to the top of Carmel, look to the sea and tell me what you see. You see, I think you better bring this up a little bit more. Because for this morning service, my voice has just about had it. But don't worry, it'll recoup for tonight, I promise you. Here is the point. I'm going to fan something over here. Labahu rabaha shakata. Iya labaha. Rabahu shakata. Iya labaha rianda. Pastor John Grant, I believe there are good people in this house who haven't even yet seen a cloud the size of a man's, like a man's hand. You know why? The natural thing to do when you're looking for a cloud is run up to the top of the mountain and you look to the sky. Because we're not meteorologists, but we have enough intelligence to know that clouds, water does evaporate, but clouds are formed in the sky. But if it's as bad as you say it is, if the earth is as dry as you say it is, then a natural cloud is not going to do it. And I know that Shakespeare said a rose is a rose is a rose, but a cloud is not just a cloud. No, 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 no. You see, some of you are looking to a natural source for a spiritual problem. I don't see anything. The prophet said, look to the sea. He said, oh yeah, I saw a little cloud like a man's hand rising from the sea. That's the point. That's why I don't need to know the size of it or the lack of the size. Is it coming from the right source? Is there something unnatural about this cloud? You call it unnatural. I prefer to call it supernatural. This isn't Mama Nature. This is Father God. Once again, I don't get great revelation. I just studied this out and I felt God drop this word to me personally. Didn't get it off TBN. Didn't get it off Sermon Central on the internet. God just birthed this in my heart. And here's another good analogy. Some of you need great financial miracles, don't you? So you needed a $10,000 miracle. And you prayed. And you got a $1,000 check in the mail. And you said, it's not going to cut it. I must not have enough faith. And you beat yourself up for lack of faith. So you fasted and you prayed more. And then the enemy said, well, I guess God must be in sequestration too. I guess heaven must have gone off the fiscal cliff. Because heaven can only afford to give you a tenth of what you need. My question is, were you expecting that $1,000 check? Was that compensation for services rendered? Was that a stock dividend? Or now that you come to think of it, wow. Brother Buster, you're right. That check didn't come from a natural source. It came out of nowhere. What are you saying, Brother Buster? I'm saying, that's your cloud. The origin is inexplicable. It has to be God. So what are you saying? I'm saying, don't dismiss the cloud. Stand to your feet. Here's why. Because in the meanwhile, come on, my voice must have completely quit on me. I'll say it one more time. Because in the meanwhile, because if you recognize the moving of God, if you thank God for the little clouds, if you don't dismiss them, if your faith is in God and not in the cloud, if you know that with God all things are possible, if you can handle that small cloud, don't you worry. Because in the meanwhile, I don't know exactly how long the meanwhile is going to take, but in the meanwhile, and some of you have got a small answer for a big problem, but don't you worry, because in the meanwhile, hear the man of God. Something's in this house. I know you're waiting on me to do some neat things in the prophetic, but something bigger than me is in this house. There's a word in here that's not just for one or two or three. There's a word in this house for everyone. You don't have to wait. If you want to start coming up here,